You know, when you're driving a manual car, right? You feel every single gear shift. You are completely connected to the machine. If something goes wrong, you know it instantly because, well, your hand is on the stick and your foot is on the clutch.
Yeah, you're in total control of the whole process.
Exactly. But then you upgrade to this, like, hyper-advanced self-driving car. Suddenly, your hands are off the wheel, you're moving way faster, the ride is incredibly smooth. But there's this tiny nagging thought in the back of your head. Like, if this car misreads a stop sign, the cop doesn't hand the ticket to the software algorithm. They hand the ticket to you.
Right, because you're still sitting in the driver's seat. I mean, the law doesn't care that the computer was doing the steering. It sees you as the licensed operator of that vehicle.
And that tension right there between incredible technological speed and absolute personal liability, that is exactly what is quietly taking over the mortgage broking industry.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a truly fascinating piece from the Broker Times. It's titled, "Who Owns the File Note When the AI Answers?"
It's a great piece, super timely. Oh, absolutely. And our mission for you today is to pull back the curtain on this massive workflow revolution. AI is suddenly everywhere in broking. But the critical question for you is, how do you use these incredibly powerful tools to win back your time without, accidentally outsourcing your legal obligations? Okay, let's unpack this.
To really grasp what is happening here, I think we need to understand that the tools brokers use today have fundamentally changed. We aren't talking about basic spreadsheets anymore.
No, not at all.
Right. So the premise of this entire shift is that AI has moved way beyond just crunching numbers in the background. It is now generating answers that sound dangerously like finalized professional advice.
Yeah, and the sheer scale of the tech rolling out is just wild. I mean, the article highlights a platform called Quickly, and their pro tier is currently sitting in front of more than 13,000 Australian brokers.
13,000.
That is a massive chunk of the market. Right. And they have this tool called Jiffy AI. Now, Jiffy isn't just a calculator, it's acting as a virtual credit analyst. You can ask it a highly specific client policy question, and it scans across 45 different lenders in a matter of seconds. I mean, 45.
The processing power required to parse 45 unique sets of credit matrices instantly is, well, it's just staggering.
It really is, and it absolutely doesn't stop there. The source talks about utility tools like Doc Renamer.
Oh, yeah, those are everywhere now.
Right, and it automatically looks through a massive pile of unorganized client uploads and renames every single PDF to fit your specific brokerage's filing convention. Then you have these alternative documentation matchers.
AL doc matchers, yeah.
Yeah, they can map out incredibly complex self-employed client files by automatically analyzing their business registration numbers, like their ABNs, alongside their quarterly tax activity statements, their BAS records, and their credit profiles. All of that just to find the perfect lender match.
It's basically doing the heavy lifting of a seasoned broker in seconds.
Exactly. And you also have LensLoanOptions.ai suite rolling out directly into customer relationship management systems, the CRMs across the country. It is a complete transformation of how a broker builds a file, which I guess brings me back to our car analogy.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, because using a standard serviceability calculator is like looking at a speedometer. It gives you a number, but you still have to decide how fast to drive based on the weather and the road conditions. But using an AI credit analyst, that feels like putting the car on autopilot, leaning back, and just taking a nap.
What's fascinating here is the specific mechanism behind that leap you just described, the leap from calculating to reasoning, because this is the absolute core of the issue.
Okay, say more about that.
Well, a traditional calculator just gives you a raw output. It says, $500,000. You, the human broker, still have to interpret that number, look at the client's actual life, and figure out if it makes sense.
Right, you have to apply human context.
Yeah, exactly. But when you ask an AI credit analyst a complex question, and it spits back a beautifully formatted, articulate paragraph saying, based on the overtime income, lender A's policy allows this structure, that doesn't feel like a calculation. That feels like a reasoned intellectual conclusion.
It sounds incredibly authoritative. Like it sounds like a senior credit manager wrote it.
Yes, because predictive language models are specifically designed to sound human and authoritative. That's their whole job.
Yeah.
And the temptation for any busy professional is to just accept that output at face value.
I mean, who wouldn't be tempted?
Right, because doing so takes hours of tedious manual policy research, like digging through lender portals, control-C-ing through PDF matrices, and compresses it into absolute minutes. Yeah. In a market where turnaround speed literally wins you the business, that is a massive, almost irresistible competitive advantage.
Well, for sure, speed is everything.
But it creates this dangerous illusion that the intellectual heavy lifting has been completely finished for you.
Yeah, but that speed comes with a massive hidden cost. Because if the machine is now doing the reasoning, we have to ask a rather terrifying question. Who goes to jail or loses their license if that reasoning is flawed?
That is the million-dollar compliance reality check right there.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The source text lays out a golden rule for navigating this new world. It states that automation changes who performs a task, but it cannot change who is accountable for it.
That is the anchor for this entire discussion. You can outsource the labor of the research, but you can never, ever outsource the liability of the recommendation.
Okay, so let's paint the nightmare scenario for you, just to make the stakes really clear. Imagine you are going through a routine file review. The Australian Securities and Investments Commission, ASIC, is auditing your business.
A very stressful day for any broker.
The absolute worst. So they pull a complex client file. They want to know exactly why you recommended lender X over lender Y, especially when lender Y had a slightly lower rate. And the only record of your decision-making process in your notes is a copied and pasted AI chat transcript saying, you know, GIF AI analyzed the profile and determined this was the best policy fit.
Oh, man, that is a disaster waiting to happen. And to understand why that fails so spectacularly, we have to look at the mechanics of the best interest duty, or BID.
Which is huge in Australia.
Massive.
Right.
This is the legal and ethical foundation of a mortgage broker's job. Your statutory duty is to act in the best interests of the consumer, prioritizing their needs above your own commissions.
Right.
That duty and all your responsible lending obligations rest entirely on your shoulders and the shoulders of your licensee. No software vendor on the planet carries your best interest duty for you.
Right. I mean, when you read their terms of service, they aren't exactly offering to go down with the ship. They provide software as is.
Exactly. They were a tool provider, not a co-broker. So in that ASIC review scenario, the absence of your own documented human reasoning is a massive fundamental compliance failure.
Wow.
It honestly doesn't even matter if the AI's answer was 100% mathematically and technically accurate. If the regulator looks at your file and sees that you just blindly adopted a machine's output without applying your own professional judgment, you have failed to demonstrate how you prioritize the client's best interests.
Because BD isn't just about getting the right answer. It's about the verifiable human process of prioritizing the client. So the ultimate responsibility rests squarely on the broker's shoulders. Which means if you are the one holding the bag, we need to talk about the blind spots. Like, what are the specific flaws in these AI tools that could actually trigger this compliance disaster?
Well, the source identifies three very specific traps that brokers routinely underrate when they start integrating these systems into their daily workflow.
But hang on, let me just challenge this for a second. These models, these large language models, they have ingested more data than any human being could read in 1,000 lifetimes, right? They're designed specifically to know and index lender policies across the entire market.
Sure.
So why wouldn't a busy broker trust an AI over their own tired brain at, say, 4 p.m. on a Friday? Shouldn't the machine technically be safer?
It's a totally logical assumption, and it is exactly why brokers get lulled into a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
The machine is incredibly fast, and to your point, it is usually right.
Right.
But usually right is a very dangerous place to live when you are dealing with financial compliance.
Yeah.
To understand why it fails, you have to understand how it thinks. And AI doesn't understand a lender's risk appetite. It's a predictive text engine. It is literally just predicting the next most logical word in a sequence based on its training data.
Okay, so it's basically guessing gracefully.
Basically. And that leads to the first risk the article highlights, which is wrong policy. An AI can state a lender's position with absolute unflinching confidence and still be completely demonstrably incorrect. It hallucinates facts because it is optimizing for a natural sounding sentence, not empirical truth. A plausible answer is not the same thing as a verified answer.
Oh, that is a great distinction. Plausible does not equal verified. Just because it reads beautifully doesn't mean it's real. Okay, what is the second risk?
The second trap is stale policy. Lender rules are not static documents. They are dynamic. credit teams change their matrices weekly, sometimes daily, based on economic shifts or internal risk limits.
So the rules are always moving.
Constantly. An AI model that had its data cut off last month or even last week might not reflect today's servicing changes.
That makes total sense. And the third trap?
The third is actually the most dangerous one of all. Automation bias.
Automation bias? What's that?
Yeah, this isn't a tech flaw. It's a human flaw. Automation bias is a well-documented psychological tendency for humans to accept a machine's answer unchecked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When a computer gives us a clean, fast, authoritative answer, our brains desperately want to trust it so we can move on to the next task. It's dangerous precisely because it feels exactly like efficiency. You think you are being a highly productive broker, but you are actually just becoming compliant to a machine.
Let's make this incredibly real for you, the listener. The article details a highly plausible real-world scenario set in the year 2026 to show how these three risks compound. Picture this. A broker gets a tough file. They ask their AI credit analyst if a certain lender accepts a specific, slightly unusual income type, maybe a niche type of contractor income.
Happens all the time.
Right. So the AI instantly and confidently replies, yes, lender A accepts this up to 80%. The broker is thrilled. They've saved 2 hours of research. They build the entire application, the product structure, the cost analysis, all around that central premise.
And here comes the trap.
Exactly. What the broker doesn't know is that the AI's data is slightly stale. That specific lender actually tightened that exact policy a mere 9 days ago.
9 days. In the credit world, 9 days might as well be 9 years.
Right. So the broker submits the file. It goes to the lender's human assessor, and boom, it's immediately declined. The client loses a whole week in a red-hot property market, potentially missing out on a house. And the broker completely loses the client's goodwill and trust. And the fallout doesn't stop there. The licensee now has a declined file on their record that shouldn't have been submitted, hurting their overall conversion metrics with that lender. And the worst part of all of this, it happened because the broker was acting on advice from a version of the world that had ceased to exist 9 days prior.
And if you look closely at that scenario, the tool itself wasn't malicious. It wasn't even poorly built. It was just an AI doing exactly what an AI does.
Right.
The failure wasn't the technology. The failure was the broker's workflow. The broker treated the AI's output as an unquestionable authority instead of just using it as a starting point.
So recognizing these traps is step one. But step two is figuring out what to actually do about it. Because you can't just ignore this technology. If you do, your competitors will crush you on speed.
Absolutely. You'd be left behind.
So what does this all mean for your day-to-day routine? How do you actually use the AI's speed while protecting your license?
Well, the source provides a brilliant, practical solution for this exact dilemma. It's called the Input, Not Authority framework.
Input, not authority. I like that.
Yeah, it is a five-step discipline designed to keep your files legally defensible while still letting you leverage the massive processing power of the AI.
Okay, let's break this framework down into a real workflow. So practically speaking, I'm staring at my screen. I have a client with complex financials, and I've got 45 potential lenders to look at. What is my first move?
Your first move is to let the AI do what it does best, which is filter data. Step one is shortlist. Don't decide. You ask the AI to analyze the parameters and narrow those 45 lenders down to a credible two or three. Mm. That alone saves you hours.
Okay.
But here is the absolute discipline. You do not let it make the final choice. You, the human, make that final selection based on the nuanced conversations you've had with your client.
Right. So it gets me from 45 down to 3. I can definitely live with that. But before I take that top lender and present it to the client as a formal recommendation, I have to make sure the AI isn't hallucinating, right?
Exactly. Which brings you to step 2. Verify. Before you rely on any material policy, and by material, I mean the specific servicing nuances, the acceptable income types, or the security restrictions that the entire deal hinges on, you must confirm it.
Confirm it how? Like manually?
Yes. You go directly to the source, you log into the lender's current policy portal, or you pick up the phone and call the lender's business development manager. You get a human representative on the line, and you verify the specific linchpin of the deal.
Okay, so I've shortlisted, and I verified the policy is actually current. But if ASIC comes knocking 6 months from now, a phone call to a BDM isn't going to save me. How do I prove I did this?
That is step 3. And it is the absolute core of your best interest duty defense. Step 3 is write.
Write it down.
Yes. You must document your reasoning in the file note. You have to explain, in your own words, why this specific lender suits this specific client regarding the product, the structure, and the cost. Absolutely no copying and pasting transcripts from the AI. The reasoning and the articulation of that reasoning has to be yours.
Got it. My words, my reasoning. Now, given what we discussed earlier about policies changing every 9 days, how do I protect myself against a lender changing their mind later?
That's step four, record. In your file notes, you need to explicitly record which AI tool you used for the research and the exact date you used it.
Ah, the date.
Right, because as we saw in that 2026 scenario, policy dates matter immensely. A recommendation is only as current and as defensible as the day the policy was verified.
Shortlist, verify, write, record. Okay, that covers the individual file. Is there anything I need to do at the broader business level?
Yes, the final step is govern. This happens at the practice level. You need to keep a short, clear AI use note in your overarching compliance documents.
What does that look like?
It should outline for any auditor exactly which tools your brokerage uses, what specific tasks you use them for, and what your mandatory human verification steps are. That governance record proves that your use of AI is a deliberate, supervised process, not just chaotic, ad hoc shortcuts.
I really like how practical this is. You know, listening to this, it feels like you just have to treat the AI like the absolute fastest, most eager junior employee you have ever hired.
Oh, that's a perfect way to look at it.
Think about it. They are brilliant at research. They are completely tireless. They can read 45 policy manuals in 3 seconds. But they lack real-world context, and they are occasionally confidently wrong.
Right. Very confident, but definitely wrong.
And most importantly, that junior employee's name never, ever goes on the final advice document. Yours does. So you have to supervise them accordingly. I mean, you wouldn't let a junior staffer send a complex commercial loan applications straight to the client without reading it first, right? The exact same rule applies to the algorithm.
That analogy captures it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about finding that balance, leveraging their incredible speed while actively managing their inherent risk.
So we've spent a lot of time establishing how to handle the heavy reasoning-based AI tools, you know, the virtual credit analysts that shape advice. But what about the simpler tools? We mentioned Doc Renamer earlier. Renaming a client's payslip or auto-sorting a tax return obviously doesn't form a best interest duty recommendation. So surely utility tools like that are completely harmless right now.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, you are right that they don't carry the same BID risk. You aren't forming a credit recommendation just by renaming a PDS. So the advice risk is lower. But lower risk is absolutely not the same thing as zero risk.
Okay, why is that? What's the trap there?
Because these administrative tools are still touching highly sensitive client data. We are talking about tax returns, bank statements, identification documents. You need to intimately understand how any tool you plug into your CRM stores and processes that information.
About privacy issues.
Exactly. Does the tool process the data locally, or does it send it to an offshore server? Do their terms of service allow them to use your client's financial data to train their next AI model? You have to ensure that even a simple utility tool aligns perfectly with your privacy and confidentiality obligations, or you risk a massive data breach.
Wow, so a data breach here isn't a BID failure, but it'll still cost you your license and your reputation.
Precisely. And there is one more subtle risk with automated document handling. It shouldn't bypass your human anomaly detection. Part of a broker's job is spotting things that look wrong, like catching manipulated or fraud-affected documents.
Right, like a weird font on a W-2 or something.
Exactly. If a tool just auto-sorts and files everything away into neat folders, and you never actually look closely at the original payslip, you might completely miss the fact that the font on the income line doesn't match the rest of the page. You still need human eyes on the inputs to catch fraud.
So bringing it all together, what is the bottom line for you, the listener, trying to navigate all of this? AI credit analysts and automation tools are an incredible productivity boost. They are arguably the most useful things to happen to broker workflows in years. But speed and accountability sit on two completely different ledgers.
Well said.
The AI does the research, you own the recommendation. If you keep AI strictly as an input and you keep your own human reasoning in the file, you get the absolute best of both worlds. You get a wildly faster process and a file that holds up like a fortress when the regulator inevitably comes asking questions.
This raises an important question, though. Something for everyone to consider as these tools inevitably get better, because they will get better, as AI models become more advanced, as they start making fewer and fewer obvious errors, will our human verification muscle begin to atrophy?
Oh, that's a scary thought.
Think about it. If an AI is right 99% of the time, the real danger isn't the AI making a mistake. The real danger is that we might slowly forget how to double-check the work for that critical 1% where it hallucinates. We risk becoming completely dependent on a black box we no longer fully understand.
Wow. If the car drives itself perfectly for 1,000 miles, you eventually stop watching the road. And when that unexpected stop sign finally appears, your hands are just too far from the wheel to react in time. Something to really think about next time you ask the AI for a quick answer. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Catch you next time.